Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from A New Philosophy of Life by John Herman Randall, published in 1911. What am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is the object of my existence here? These questions have been asked by people in all ages and in every clime. For most of us, these questions still remain unanswered. We have sought, we have studied, we have believed, we have puzzled, we have theorized, we have guessed, and yet how much do we really know? How many of these deeper problems of our being have we actually solved in personal experience? We are like the caged mouse who chases around his wheel until at last exhausted, he finds himself just where he started. Many of us have eagerly climbed a mountain of knowledge. We have read books, have studied earnestly, have listened to lectures and sermons of every kind. And finally, weary in body and mind, we have reached the top of the mountain, only to find that the mountain is a mere plateau, and high above us stretch lofty peaks yet unscaled. Most of us have failed in our search. We are still restless, anxious, troubled, doubting, and fearful, because we have been looking outside for that which only can be found within. Happiness, peace, power, and satisfaction can never be found in externals. If discovered at all, it will only be as they are realized in our inner spiritual consciousness. For, quote, the kingdom of God is within you. We commonly associate spiritual life with some future existence. Much of the preaching of the church has tended to be that we will one day become spiritual beings, but that now the spiritual life is an ideal to be cherished rather than a fact to be realized in daily experience. The first question to be faced frankly, and if possible honestly answered, is this: is there a normal spiritual life possible to all people, to be lived not in some distant heaven, but here and now in this present world? And if so, of what does it consist, and how is it to be attained? Let's think briefly of the deeper meaning of life as we know it, and consider its development. The most wonderful and altogether most significant thing to be said about life is this: that as we trace it, from its earliest beginnings up to the present time, we find a gradual unfolding of consciousness from the simplest life forms, rising up towards woman and man. But is there any grounds for thinking that human consciousness may unfold into a life of the spirit? I firmly believe there is, and these are some of the reasons for my conviction. First, it's because the intellectual life does not satisfy. Tolstoy somewhere says, as soon as the intellect has taken control of a person, new worlds are opened, and desires are multiplied a thousandfold. They become as numerous as the radii of a circle. And the mind, with care and anxiety, sets itself first to cultivate and then to gratify these desires, thinking that happiness is to be attained in that way. Yes, there are rare pleasures in the intellectual life, but there are poignant pains as well. The more one thinks, the greater the capacity for suffering. You may start out ambitiously to solve life's problems, but before long, if you follow the guidance of intellect solely, you find yourself back at the place where you began. At the end of every intellectual journey stands the old question: but why? There is a weariness in a life merely of the intellect. Although the intellect can achieve wondrous results and answer many questions within its own field, its field is circumscribed, and in the end we are still left unsatisfied. Another reason for the belief that there is a higher plane of consciousness beyond the intellectual is found in the fact that there is no one who does not live at times on that higher plane. Whether you are religious or not, everyone lives on this higher plane of spiritual consciousness in at least some experiences of life. Justice, kindness, mercy, sympathy, and selfless love. Are these the products of a cold intellect? From the standpoint of logic merely, is there any reason why you should not trample your neighbor in the mire and take their belongings if you choose? From the cold intellectual standpoint, is there any reason why you should forget yourself and make sacrifices for others, sometimes even strangers? There is no one quite so repellent to us as the intellectual person who is without human sympathy, kindness, and love. And these qualities, which are expressed to a greater or lesser degree in every life, are not dictated by the intellect. We do not reason about these things. We listen to the voice within and obey. At such times, one is living in spiritual consciousness. I do not care what the act may be, or how trivial it may seem. If it is done unselfishly, you are living, for the moment at least, the spiritual life. For unselfish love in any of its forms is the fruit of the Spirit. The trouble is that with most of us, the spiritual life is an occasional or spasmodic thing. We live on the plane of the Spirit for a little while, and then we drop to the intellectual or physical plane. The spiritual consciousness is but faintly developed in us. We have not yet confirmed and made habitual our life on the spiritual plane. Another evidence of the spiritual life is the law of evolution written deep into our natures. The law that makes us feel we are here to grow constantly into higher and richer experiences, no matter how far we have come physically, morally, or intellectually. We know we cannot stand still, for the law of growth is the law of life, as well as the law of the universe. Every stage in life heretofore has been preparing something higher, and the person who attains the greatest heights intellectually is conscious that they have not yet reached the final summit. It may seem vague. We may not understand just what that higher state is to be. But in all of us, there is a power urging us on, leading us forward, forcing us to believe that we have not yet exhausted life's meaning or drained to its dregs life's cup of possibilities. We are all in the process of unfolding. The only difference is that some are farther on than others. So, can we attempt to characterize the life of someone whose soul has awakened, whose consciousness has unfolded into the spiritual? In describing the meaning of the spiritual life, I realize that I am attempting the impossible. I can only offer hints and suggestions as to its deeper significance. The person who has awakened, here and now, to their spiritual consciousness, realizes for the first time what the ego actually is. Henceforth, they regard body and mind solely as instruments to be used. The past does not worry them. The future causes no anxiety. They have attained the consciousness of their spiritual selfhood, which they know to be imperishable and eternal. They go through their days in the glad consciousness that nothing can injure them, nothing can destroy them. They are not the body. They are not the intellect. They are the soul, the spiritual ego, who stands back of body and mind. and employs both for great and glorious ends. Such an awakened soul is keenly joyous in the now. They regard themselves as a vital part of the whole. They feel themselves as everywhere at home in the universe. They know that they are an emanation of the divine, a particle of God, if you will, housed for a little while in this mechanism we call the body. And not only are they conscious of their oneness with God, but they realize, just as truly, their oneness with humanity. Hate, envy, and jealousy, cruelty, selfishness, and greed, all these things fall away from them, because they see themselves as a part of all other lives. Sometimes the soul awakens to this new consciousness suddenly. It may be through some startling experience, such as sorrow, calamity, or great disappointment. But for most people, the development into this next stage of consciousness is slow and gradual. We are like the person roused from a deep sleep, who rubs their eyes and wonders where they are. Their sleep is gone, but they are not yet thoroughly awake. This is where most of us stand. We are not satisfied with the intellectual, moral, or physical life which we have been living. We have begun to yield ourselves to this spirit and live upon this higher plane at least occasionally. But we are rubbing our eyes. We do not see clearly. We have not yet learned how to live the spiritual life continuously. But we can. What others have achieved, we may achieve. What others can do, we can do. If we hold to these thoughts and shut our eyes to everything that is not spiritual, by the wondrous power of suggestion, the spiritual consciousness will gradually unfold within us. For as you thinketh in your heart, so you be.